KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Contra Tiempo Activist Dance Theater's Joy Us, Just Us, a participatory dance theater experience that celebrates joy as resistance, November 22nd and 23rd at UC San Diego's Mandeville Auditorium. Tickets and information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Tebby Cruz. It's Wednesday, November 13th. How a therapist is helping undocumented immigrants cope with fear and anxiety surrounding the threat of mass deportation. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. Sharp Healthcare and the union that represents thousands of its frontline healthcare employees have reached a tentative agreement on a three-year contract. The announcement was made yesterday and comes after union members voted to authorize a five-day strike. The terms of the agreement include new wage scales and reduced premiums for family medical coverage. The union includes around 5,000 workers at Sharp Grossmont Hospital, Sharp Hospice Care, Sharp Chula Vista Medical Center, and Sharp Metropolitan Medical Campus. The union will hold a ratification vote next week. Starting next year, Escondido will start charging a fee to owners of abandoned commercial buildings. Escondido Mayor Dane White says this is part of the city's plan to revitalize the downtown area.
We have a lot of the larger properties that have been vacant, some for decades. And what happens is some of these people are out of town. They really don't have any interest in making Escondido better, making our downtown better.
The fee will be nearly $4,500 a year. The new city law also requires owners of abandoned buildings to display their contact information on the property. Plus, they will have to secure the property from break-ins and describe any future plans for the building. Today will be the warmest day of the week, then starting tomorrow, temperatures will start to drop. There's also a chance of rain starting tomorrow night and into the weekend. Today in the inland and desert areas, temperatures will be in the high 70s. By the coast, temps will be in the low 70s, and in the mountains, it'll be in the mid-60s. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Felt, Curator of Photography at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're pleased to welcome to San Diego Pre-Picte Human, the latest exhibition from the world's leading award for photography and sustainability. The Museum of Photographic Arts at the San Diego Museum of Art is the only U.S. venue on the international tour of Pre-Picte Human. See work by 12 shortlisted photographers, including the award-winner Indian photographer Gauri Gill, in the celebrated exhibition Exploring Human Experiences. Pre-Picte Human is on view now through December 15, 2024 at MOPA at SDMA in Balboa Park. Learn more at mopa.org.
Arguably, no group had more at stake in last week's presidential election than undocumented immigrants. And now that Donald Trump is preparing to make good on his promises of mass deportations, many are afraid. Border reporter Gustavo Solis spoke with a therapist about healthy ways of processing that fear and anxiety.
Muriel Casamayor is a therapist who watched the election results with a group of undocumented students at UC Riverside. Things got really tense.
A lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety.
Undocumented immigrants already have higher levels of stress and anxiety because of their lack of legal status. President-elect Donald Trump's calls for mass deportations are only intensifying that stress. Casamayor specializes in treating undocumented people and other immigrant populations. She tells her patients that it's okay to feel attacked.
Letting them know that, yes, right now, it's okay to feel rage. It's okay to feel fear. It's okay to feel anxious. It's okay not wanting to go to school for the day or maybe taking some time off from work.
Casamayor encourages them to find healthy ways of channeling that anxiety into something positive. She says that one of the best things people can do right now is build community and surround yourself with supportive people. Immigrants Rising is one organization that can connect undocumented students with mental health counselors who understand the specific issues they face. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
California is forewarning the incoming Trump administration that it has power too, and plans to use it. That is if the new president tries to block the state's progress on key issues. Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma says the next 4 years could be California versus Trump 2.0, as the state attorney general plans to push back with litigation and legislation. I spoke with Amita about the state's plans to impose guardrails on Trump. Tell me about California versus Trump 1.0. How did the state fare in those clashes, and what were they over?
Well, Debbie, during the first Trump administration from 2017 through 2020, California and the first Trump White House fought in court 120 times. And California Attorney General Rob Bonta says the state won a super majority of those cases on issues that will surprise no one who is paying attention and that are only expected to surface again as flashpoints.
We still want climate action. We still want reproductive freedom. We still want common sense gun safety. We still want civil rights for all of our communities. We still want health care that's high quality and accessible. We still want housing. We still support our immigrants and compassionate, humane treatment of them. Our values haven't changed because of one election.
Amita, how much power does California really have to challenge the federal government? Doesn't federal law trump state law?
In some circumstances, yes. But first, I have to point out that in my recent conversation with Bonta, he really went out of his way to flex California's muscle, telling me that, you know, there's no America without California. It's the largest, most diverse state in the union with the world's fifth largest economy. Now, back to your question, Debbie. Bonta says the Constitution does not give one single person, in this case, the President of the United States, all the power. States also have vast power. California, as you know, has enshrined the right for a woman to have an abortion in its state constitution. Bonta says if Trump tries to institute a national abortion ban, the state is ready for a fight with, quote, strong defenses. He wouldn't reveal the state's strategy beyond that. Bonta also says Trump lacks the authority to trample on California's sanctuary law, which restricts the state's law enforcement agencies from enforcing federal immigration law. Bonta says any future court fights with the federal government depend entirely on Trump.
He has a very hard time resisting unlawful action. It's part of his brand. It's who he is. It's what he's done time and time again. So we are ready to bring lawsuits challenging his unlawful actions, just as we did before. We also are preparing legislation to immunize California from any attempts by Trump to get in the way of our progress. If he tries to get in the way, we will push back, punch back, and fight back.
What happens if these cases are appealed to the Supreme Court? Half of Americans view the high court unfavorably.
Debbie, I asked Attorney General Bonta just that, and he says he is clear-eyed on what could happen to California's cases.
We have to be realistic about the U.S. Supreme Court and what has happened to that court. There are numerous appointees from the Trump administration 1.0 who raised their hand, took an oath, went before the Senate Judiciary Committee, committed to the precedent of Roe versus Wade, and committed to honoring it. And then the first time they had a chance to overrule it, they did. As a result, the U.S. Supreme Court has lost trust from the American people. They have one of the lowest ratings they've ever had. They earned it.
And I should add, Debbie, that California is not alone in its fight. It has allies in Western states like Washington and Oregon across the country, and bookend support by attorneys general in New York and New Jersey. And one more point, California Governor Gavin Newsom also warned last week that if Trump attacks American values, the state will not stand idly by.
Amita, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
San Diego's considering a reform to its building code to encourage more family-sized apartments. Most American cities require buildings above three stories to have at least two stairwells. The century-old rule was intended for fire safety, though critics say the advent of sprinkler systems has made the rule obsolete. City Council member Kent Lee wants San Diego to explore allowing taller single-stair buildings, which can allow for more two- and three-bedroom apartments.
There's a great need still for small units. All the time. We've got young professionals to seniors on a fixed income who are fine with the constraint of that. But we have families that don't really have options as much anymore, and they can't all compete for the same type of housing.
At Lee's request, San Diego's also adding single-stair reform to its list of priorities in Sacramento. 10 years ago, San Diego adopted a goal of zero traffic deaths and serious injuries by 2025. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says a new report digs into why the city failed to achieve Vision Zero.
Traffic deaths on San Diego streets are more common today than they were in 2015. Vision Zero at 10 years, a new report from think tank Circulate San Diego, offers a few explanations. For one, vehicles have gotten larger, meaning crashes are more likely to kill pedestrians rather than injure them. Will Moore, the report's author, says the city has more pedestrian safety projects in the pipeline, but they're not getting built fast enough.
So while the city of San Diego has done a good job in improving its plans, it has to do substantially more to implement those plans more cheaply, more quickly, and with more resources.
The report also recommends San Diego consider automated traffic enforcement, such as speed cameras, to curb an increase in reckless driving. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Today is World Kindness Day. It was started in 1998 to put a focus on coming together and doing acts of kindness for others. Jill McManigal is the co-founder and executive director of the nonprofit Kids for Peace. It was founded in Carlsbad and has expanded into over 115 countries.
Kids for Peace is a youth empowerment organization. We started in 2006, so we're almost 18 years old now. And it's all about supporting kids and creating peace in their own lives and their schools and their community and the world. And we do it through acts of kindness. We do it through service. We do it through global friendships and the arts and finding inner peace with the kids.
McManigal says some simple acts of kindness include smiling at someone, opening the door for someone, picking up trash, getting someone a coffee, and thanking teachers and first responders.
We really find that the World Kindness Day has come at the perfect time in our world when people are feeling a little disconnected from each other, a little fearful, and just needing an extra boost of positivity.
You can visit kidsforpeaceglobal.org for a free downloadable checklist that has 50 acts of kindness for inspiration. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Bill Hohen.
And I'm Ted Hohen.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hohen family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hohen Carlsbad dealerships or hohenmotors.com.